Coming up next is Empower Hour.
Good morning, everyone. I trust that everyone is having a fabulous week. And, you know, I know there's a lot of shifts going on out there and a lot is happening for a lot of us. If you're feeling a little more tired than normal, if you're feeling experiencing what feels like anxiety or depression, or you're just wanting to sleep a little bit more than usual, just know that there are a lot of energy activations occurring within us, and the body is simply tuning to new frequencies. You know, our human mind tends to go straight to the, oh no, there's something wrong with me. But most likely, you are just feeling the activations. This is a normal part of what's happening right now collectively across the planet. And, you know, if you're experiencing some of this and you have questions about it, you know, I'm happy to help you. So feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me, contact me through my website at askcoachbrandy.com. But today I have a guest speaker here with us who will actually be able to share her wisdom and some things around food that will actually help to ease the transitions that we are all experiencing and the shifts that we're going through right now. So she, my guest today brings us information that will support you not only in raising your personal vibration and bringing that personal vibration into balance as well with your food. So Colleen Ruiz is a nutrition consultant of holistic nutrition. She teaches the importance of consciously eating healthy foods that promote vibrant physical and mental health while supporting a strong immune system and preventing disease. Colleen uses muscle testing to evaluate nutritional options, uncovering the best way to improve the health of her clients. And she designs a nutritional course of action to address the immediate health concerns and ongoing well-being. Every body is unique, and Colleen strives to help each client integrate a balanced eating plan into their lives. And it is with great honor that I welcome Colleen to the show today. Colleen, so happy that you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Good. We, you know, I have worked with you personally, and I'm always just stunned at the information that comes out of you. You're a wealth of information, and I love your process and how you work with people, and I'm just anxious to hear you share this with our listening audience, because I know that those who are listening can benefit from what you have to offer and the process that you use in all of that. So let's just kind of dive in here and talk a little bit about why someone would need a nutritionist.
Well, everybody needs a nutritionist.
Definitely makes it easier.
Yes, everybody is unique. And with what's going on in the world, with what's going on in your body and how your body deals with your environment is a unique experience. And so getting food that matches and the needs of your body is really important, because food plays such a role in how you feel. Mm-hmm. So it's not just preventing disease, but it's also as we get older and our bodies are changing, we don't want this downhill decline. We want to, you know, still run and jump.
Right.
And also the mood, how you feel in your mind, the anxiety, the depression, these things can be affected by what you eat.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there are, you know, one of the things I just want to interject right there real quick is that you said a lot of the, you know, the foods and all of that play a part on the anxiety and the depression and the mood. And the thing I want to point out here, because I've experienced this in my own life, and that is, you know, getting into these quote unquote fad diets, or you know, one diet fits all kind of thing. And that is I have discovered that is like the worst thing you can do for your body, because there are certain things that your body needs that a certain diet may not provide for you, which could then contribute to increasing the symptoms of quote unquote anxiety or depression. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your body, the state it's in, you know, simple things. A woman who might be having some little tiny thyroid issues, you know, is going to be more affected by eating spinach and kale than somebody who isn't,
mm-hmm.
being the thyroid's not being affected.
Right.
There's so many things in the body that, you know, are being affected by food. So getting the optimal food, you know, to support the health and energy in your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah. You know, I recently read Cryon's latest book. Cryon is channeled through Lee Carroll. And when I read this, I thought of you, because he specifically references our diet. You know, everything is changing on the planet. Everything is changing for everyone, and everything is changing quickly. And so one of the things that we have to look at is what used to work for our body in terms of food is not necessarily going to work now. And then what we just stated, which is that what might work for one isn't going to work for another. And he talks about looking at the Akashic, you know, looking at the ancestry, not just in this lifetime, but in the past lives, because it is in your DNA. And if you look into your Akashic, then you can see what your ancestries from past lives, what they ate that was suitable for their bodies and that time frame and all of that stuff. And so there is something with our DNA, and using kinesiology, he talks about this, to determine what foods are best for our specific DNA. And when I read that, I thought, that's exactly what Colin does. Oh my God, she's like spot on. And so share with us a little bit about your process and how you determine what might work for one person versus another in terms of kinesiology and what exactly that is, because some of our listening audience may not know what that is.
Well, yes, and I think you brought up two really important points. I use muscle testing, and actually the applied kinesiology, they're often interchangeable terms, but they actually came from two different places.
Okay.
So the applied kinesiology originated with a chiropractor, and that's where the arm is held out and pushed down to look at what the body, you know, where it's imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so muscle testing, I don't have to use your muscles. I can use my muscles as a way, because this is based on, it's more the traditional, the internal energy, which is fundamental to like traditional Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is this is a non-invasive way of evaluating the body's imbalances and then assessing what it needs. So I can look at individual foods. I have an ultimate food list. Looking at every fruit and vegetable, nut and grain, and seeing, does that match? Does that resonate with your body?
Mm-hmm.
So, and why, you know, it would or would not, you know, the thing that you brought up of our genetics, this is so important. I mean, I really over and over and over see the effect of ethnic origin.
Mm-hmm.
Where you come from, whether you're going to get allergic to certain foods. Myself, having ancestors that ate a lot of corn and beans, I'm going to not be so likely to be allergic to corn and beans. However, wheat might actually cause me to get allergic, to be sensitive, and cause inflammation in my body.
Mm.
And there's even new science that is supporting that it's not just in our DNA, it's even beyond the DNA. It's these groups of chemicals that attach to the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So that if four generations ago your grandfather was subjected to pesticides, was using pesticides on crops, and he got ill and had, you know, symptoms from this pesticide that he was using. Four generations later, you can have the same symptoms and be affected by that pesticide in the same way. Mm-hmm. Four generations later. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned something there about inflammation, and that brings me to the gut. You know, I really want to dive in here about the gut, because we hear a lot about gut health, and we hear about leaky gut syndrome, and there's just a lot of emphasis on the gut these days. And I think we might tend to limit that in terms of how we perceive that. We may be limiting what that means to us in our human mind. So I'd love for you to educate us a little bit on, you know, what are we talking about when we're talking about the gut?
Absolutely. I love the gut.
That's just weird, Colin.
But it's not just this long tube that goes through your body, you know, starting in the mouth, the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine, okay? It's so much more. This gut is lined with neurons, okay? More neurons than that are in your spinal cord, okay? So there's actually like a second brain in your gut. There's also millions and millions of microorganisms, which are the bacteria, which is the same thing as gut flora, okay? There's 100 trillion of those guys, over 400 known diverse species. All these things are helping our body take life force from food and convert it to energy that we can use in our body.
Wow.
So this, to me, this is huge. And it's not just, like, it can blow your mind, because I want to give you a little example.
Okay.
If you imagine yourself as a donut, okay, and we're not talking, I mean, the donut hole on the inside, this is actually your gut. Now, the skin, you know, we have our senses, the ears, the eyes, and we are sensing our environment without us. We lay our skin out on a football field, okay, now we lay out the gut, and we smooth all the folds and lay it out beside us. It is going to fill the football field 100 times more than our body laid out. The gut is going to lay out. It's that vast, okay? So that very vast gut has its own internal system of sensing what you're putting in and how to use it, what it's good for, how to get the energy from it. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, because as you're sitting here talking about it, I'm like, so the gut is that intelligent.
Exactly.
It has an intelligence and consciousness of its own.
Right. So if you think of that inner donut hole, what's going through there is actually on the outside of your body. The gut controls what comes into the donut, what comes into your body. The problem is, when you have an unhealthy gut, I mean, the things that are out there now, GMOs and, you know, all the really toxic, I mean, they're just toxic foods,
yeah.
Unhealthy foods, cause things to go into our bodies that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And then that the nervous system is talking, it's talking to your brain, you know, it's talking to the rest of your body. And so this inflammation, you know, the autoimmune diseases get set up.
Wow. Wow. Now, I want to ask you a question real quick, because you mentioned GMOs a couple of times. I think I need clarity on this. So just because it's organic doesn't necessarily mean that it hasn't been, that it's not GMO. Is that correct?
No, absolutely. Actually, not quite, because
okay.
GMOs are genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so something has been altered. Now, the way it started was to put things in food, so they pesticides really, to prevent, you know, insects from eating the food that we want to eat.
Uh-huh.
However, what was happening is that those pesticides, when the little tiny bug eats it, they ingest it, and it makes holes in their digestive system and kills them. Mm-hmm. So they can't eat this food.
Okay.
Well, so they said, but we're big humans, so we can take it, and it's not going to damage our gut. However, now they're saying, you know what? It is damaging the gut. So if it is organic, it does mean that it was not modified in any way.
Okay, so organic is fine. As long as it says organic, we're fine.
Yes.
Okay.
So stick with organic whenever, however you can.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit. We're only a few minutes in, and you just have this, again, you're just a wealth of information. I'm like, my God, she's fascinated by the gut. So tell me, how did you get started in nutrition?
Well, I grew up the oldest of five, living off the land. My family, you know, we raised our food. I'm very, very, you know, healthy. My mother and father were very back into the basics. But then when my mother was only 46, she had a cancerous brain tumor. And undergoing cancer treatments for a year, she ended up passing away. Mm. And I went to go help my mom through this experience, and she really, really wanted to maintain the best quality of life that she possibly could through this experience. And so she was really motivated to find ways to relax, do different therapies, and eat really, really well. She bought a juicer. She used to complain that, why weren't they serving carrot juice in the waiting room instead of coffee?
Yeah.
You know, she was trying to heal.
Right.
And this really, you know, of course it really, really affected me, but it motivated me to go back out into the community where I was living up here in Fort Collins and try to help women undergoing cancer treatments and just say, how can I help? What can I do to help you? And the first thing I saw is that there was no nutritional support.
Mm.
You know, there was nothing happening. I would take people to their doctor, and they would be losing weight, and he would say, just have some ice cream before bed. And I would cringe, just cringe, because ice cream is really hard to digest, and the milk fat is just very difficult. So that's what really was like, all right, I want to do more. I want to do a lot more. I'm going to go back to school and get my master's. My undergraduate degree was about the body. I have a bachelor's in anatomy and physiology, of course, but I really wanted to get the master's and get more and more understanding about how nutrition affects the body. And then in my own life, the mind-body connection with nutrition, I think, is so, so important.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What can you share with us about that? What does that mean exactly, Colin, for those who might not who listening who may not know?
Well, you know, again, it's the life force energy in food. We are converting that to life force energy for our body.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in our society, there's so many good reasons that our body, our mental state, will want us to disconnect from the body. And when you're putting food in it, being mindful, I really, really want to empower people by giving them the right food for their body. Empower them to know what their body feels like when it's feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
That connection of not just, well, I think I eat healthy. I eat a salad, you know, a few times a week. But does your body really, really feel good? Is your mind clear? Can you do everything you want to do? Run and jump. And that is when you actually get in your body, start listening to, oh, man, when I eat these vegetables, I really feel good. I don't have cravings anymore. I'm not crazy at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you know, where I'm like, I need a donut. No, no. If you've been feeding your body and giving it all the energy it needs, it's not going to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, I want to go back to something on the gut here for a second because, you know, I think for me, I went for, let's see, it was, I guess, 6 years I was a vegetarian. And what's interesting about that whole thing there is that growing up, my mother was a butcher. So we had meat and a lot of red meat. It was nothing for us to have steak a couple times a week. And steak when I was growing up was you know, a big to-do. It was a rarity. In fact, when I started dating, you know, my date would always want to take me out for steak, you know, to impress me. And I'm like, dude, I really just want some pizza or a cheeseburger. Like, I really don't want a steak. And so, so then, you know, in my adult years, I decided to go vegetarian for different reasons. And 6 years, and I tell you, I never had so many stomach issues, during that time, but I never made the connection that, you know, maybe this wasn't the right food for me, the right way to go for me. And it was probably, I don't know, a couple, I don't even know how long, several months maybe before I met you, and I came across a book that kind of had me questioning what I was doing with my food. And then I met you, and we went through the process of you muscle testing my foods, and what you came up with was so in alignment with what I had read a few months prior, which was that I needed more red meat. In fact, very few vegetables do well in my stomach. And after switching over and having more meat and less of the vegetables that I was having, I don't have the stomach issues that I used to have. And so, you know, I say this to say, how many people are out there who have a quote-unquote unhealthy gut, or they're eating the things that are not in alignment with what their body needs, and they just don't know? So how do they know if their gut is unhealthy?
Well, there's lots. So, yeah, you're touching on more than one thing, definitely. But, you know, one of the things that I am looking for is I do see people fall into two groups. One that really needs a solid foundation of energy right off the bat, first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are, I mean, it's a cowboy breakfast, steak and eggs for breakfast.
That's me.
What I call it. And some people, you know, might have a little bit more imbalance in their blood sugar issues, like myself, and I need a little more plant protein in the morning. I just can't get enough energy right off the bat from a steak. But give me some good plant protein with some seeds, and I'm just happy and ready to go. So, you know, what our body needs, that is always something I'm looking at because we are unique. Mm-hmm. And then what is going on if your body is unhealthy? What does that look like? Well, there's a lot of things. Okay, so there's a lot of things that cause an unhealthy gut. So even things like just a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. If you've had a lot of infections in your life, if you had, you know, infections when you were a kid and were on a lot of antibiotics, these things are harmful to the gut flora. Now, remember, there is tons of gut flora that is really, really has a very specific job of helping you get food and get the energy out of the food that you're eating. So nowadays, like irritable bowel syndrome is a word that's just thrown out there. I've seen it on six-year-old kids. You know, six-year-old kids, their stomach's aching, I mean, to the point where they can't even go to school. Right. You know, the parents are at their wits' end. They take them to the doctor, and he's like, I'm sorry, they have irritable bowel. Well, what does that mean? Their stomach hurts. I start working with them, and I look at, you know, the food sensitivities. And so it can be little things like bloating and gas after you eat, or it could be things like headaches, irritability, poor concentration. Those are all symptoms of, like, inflammation, happening in the gut. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's, like, candida, which is yeast overgrowth, which is the same thing as the bad bacteria, so the mm-hmm. bad gut flora. We have a little bit in that gut all the time, okay? But with that 100 trillion, we usually have that under control. So it's getting the right balance to have a healthy gut, the right balance of gut flora, and then eliminating things that are harming the gut wall so you don't have what's called leaky gut syndrome.
Mm, okay. So if we're looking at ways to heal the gut, I want to talk about that. And I think that would also kind of, you know, I want to give people an idea of what they can expect from you. I mean, as a nutritionist, what can they expect from you and how can you help them in terms of healing their gut?
So I really, you know, I start with this ultimate food list, going through every single thing and looking at really, I mean, it boils down to a very simple whole foods diet. And then looking at timing, to me, that it's really important. So what we're doing is once we go through that list, we're looking at that and then how does that fit into a day? You know, for you, let's get that protein in right away. And how can we do that? Mm-hmm. Before you walk out the door, are you getting your protein? That will be critical. So,
and Starbucks doesn't count as protein, right, Colin?
No. That's way too much sugar.
Even if it's a soy latte?
Oh, my God. It's just like the tens of teaspoons of sugar, which instantly cause inflammation to your gut. Mm. Oh, God. Terrible.
So, okay, I just had to clarify that.
So what I'm doing is I'm really inviting people to step into the awareness of here is the foods that are resonating with you. Here's the optimal times for your body to eat these foods. So let's look at how to make this work in your life. And I really, really think that this is a whole process. This isn't something that it's just like, this is not just one new diet you're going to try for 10 days. This is like, let's feel what it feels like when my body is really feeling good. So I want to empower you. I want to give you tools so that you can start, you know, even if you, when you go to a restaurant, what would really be best for me? What would be best for my body? And then looking at your situation, your individual situation, you know, to get to heal and restore balance in your gut. So it is about removing foods, factors that damage the gut. So one thing that we talked about is like stress. You know, it would be great to find, you know, more ways in your life to de-stress. But when it comes to food, keeping things organic is awesome. And then having clean water, that's great too, you know. And then there are little things that you can do, supplements like probiotics. Probiotics are actually, probiotics is another word for healthy gut flora. So when you have depleted your gut flora or when there's overgrowth of candida, the bad gut flora, you're trying to rebalance, restore. So taking probiotics can be really, really easy thing to do and really, really good for you.
Mm-hmm. But also, I just want to point out, because I was taking probiotics, that probiotics, would you say that not everyone would need a probiotic necessarily? And that maybe, like, for example, for me, I didn't need a probiotic as much as I needed a digestive enzyme.
Right. Absolutely. So,
and what are the differences there, Colin?
So probiotics and digestive enzymes get confused all the time. And, I mean, especially, like, if you use the more scientific term that's sometimes on the bottle for digestive enzymes, it'll be called proteolytic enzymes. Proteolytic enzymes and probiotics, people are like, well, what's the difference? Totally two different things. So we're producing enzymes in our body all the time. In this, you know, they get transported to the stomach, they get transported to the small intestine to break down food. So these are enzymes that specifically break down sugars, fats, the grains that we eat, carbohydrates. Okay. So those are digestive enzymes. All their tool, all their optimal use or what they're doing is breaking down food. So if you're having a hard time, if your body is having a hard time producing enzymes, or if the gut is unhealthy and it's just not getting in there where it needs to be to digest all the foods, then having digestive enzymes can be a really, really good thing. Probiotics are all the way on another spectrum. That is gut flora. So these are the bacteria that live in our gut. These are live. That's why they're usually in the refrigerated section. Because they're actually live. And so they are replacing and restoring the right combination or the bacteria that we need to help balance the gut. Now, the bacteria is helping digest the food. They have that job also to digest the food. So it's two different, I mean, they're kind of coming about, you know, the ultimate goal is to have really well-digested food so you can suck up the nutrients that you need. Mm-hmm. Digestive enzymes is one way to, you know, to break down the food. Probiotics are digesting even farther. Okay. So,
and you can decide, I mean, you can determine through muscle testing. I mean, I don't know what would cause, like, for example, I didn't need necessarily a probiotic. Why would I not need that, but someone else might?
When you're eating really healthy and you haven't, you know, you haven't been harming your gut bacteria, you haven't been taking a lot of antibiotics, so your gut flora might be in a really good state.
Okay.
So that's good. However, your pancreas, your stomach might not be producing enough enzymes. As we age, even things like lipase breaks down fats. Lactose breaks down, I mean, people hear that one a lot because it's the milk protein. It starts breaking down milk. But as we age, we produce less and less of this. Again, ethnic origin plays a role in how much of this lactase you're going to produce. So if you're not producing the enzymes that you need to digest all of, say, the milk that you're drinking, then that's where it's totally two different things, but you might, you know, you just might not be producing enough digestive enzymes to match the foods that you're eating. To me, my goal is getting to the point where you're eating, you know, really healthy, all the foods that really resonate with your body, and you don't need digestive enzymes
mm-hmm.
because your body will produce just the right amount for what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you won't need probiotics because your gut will be so healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So these are ways of, you know, restoring. Restoring and healing the gut.
Well, and also, you know, supplements. I know there were supplements that I was taking, and I know there are a lot of people out there who you were told that this supplement is good, so take it, and this supplement's good for this, so take it, and this one's good for this, so take that one. So in my experience with you, I found that, you know what, we could be taking a crap load of supplements that we don't even need, So we're wasting this money on supplements that aren't even really benefiting our body, and in some cases maybe doing our body more harm than good. And I love that you actually go through your list that of supplements to determine what is good for each individual person and what's not, because I was really quite shocked at some of the things that I thought I should be taking that, in fact, I didn't need to have.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I'm looking at something like minerals, you know, I just last week was working with a teenage girl and really coming up deficient in minerals, which is not something that when you are learning in the classroom, they're telling you nobody's going to be deficient in minerals because the American diet is so varied and has so much in it. But that's not happening that way. The foods that are too hard to digest, the state of the gut, which is not allowing nutrients to be come in. So I'm looking at what can we do, what foods match that need. And there's really easy things to do. Nuts and seeds and grains actually have a lot of wonderful minerals. So things like I can get, I can build, basically I really love building specific recipes for individual people. So a nut smoothie where you soak nuts and seeds overnight and then pop them in the blender and, you know, add like your sweetener of choice and some spices for digestion to aid digestion. That is your mineral supplement right there, a nut smoothie in the morning. Lots of plant protein. You know, you can hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds. You look at 1 gram or 1 ounce of a red meat. And that's 7 grams of protein. You look at 1 ounce of pumpkin seeds, that's 9 grams of protein. Hemp seeds are 10 grams of protein per ounce.
Yeah.
So it's not always, you know, some people do need that heme iron, the iron that comes from red meat more than others. But if you can get really high protein from nuts and seeds, and you can really get those minerals too. So that's all I needed to do. I didn't need her to take a mineral supplement. I was like, let's get two. We actually got like one nut and 2 seeds. I'm like, 2 tablespoons of each a day, that's your supplement. And you're covering so many more bases, so many more.
Did you say 2 tablespoons of the nuts and seeds is all she needed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. That was actually high because we were doing chia and hemp. Most people, you know, 1 tablespoon a day of chia, 1 tablespoon a day of hemp, you know, you've got all your omegas right there.
Huh.
Really supportive for your joints, getting all those omega fatty acids for your body. That helps your brain function. So it doesn't take much. It really doesn't. But there's a big shift in, you know, it's how to get those simple up, those whole foods into the diet when we're so used to eating processed food.
Right.
We're so used to eating cereal out of the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, gosh. And you makes me think about my kiddos. I've got a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, and these babies are so finicky when it comes to food.
Yeah.
And it's so hard as a parent. You want to, you know, you want to take care of them and feed them these healthy foods. But when they're so picky and all they'll eat are processed foods, I like want to bang my head against a wall sometimes because I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle with them. And I know that you have a son, he's older now, but you know, what suggestions or offerings might you have for parents with children who are so picky?
Well, I mean, my son has a spot of sensory integration disorder, which comes up as not liking crunchy foods when he was younger, not liking anything too chewy. So I have been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. He would eat a carrot like a rabbit and gnaw it because he didn't want a big chunk that he would have to crunch. So, you know, it's how to find the right things. It was like I couldn't even find, you know, instead of a box cereal, I was like, how about a granola? We couldn't even find one that he liked. So what we did is I said, let's make one for you. Let's find out what you do like, and let's make one. He's 17, and he every single week he makes his own batch of granola now. He uses, I don't care how much honey he's using, he can use honey, and that's the good sweetener for him, but he's got sesame seeds, he's got pecans, you know, he's getting his omegas, and he's got rolled oats, you know, organic, and I'm like, yay, that's one step in the right direction. But another thing, last week, two teenage girls, and we're changing their school lunch. How to change the school lunch? Get away from some of the things that are too sweet. Like, don't overdo the fruit. You know, give them some energy. So now there's really good nut butters out there. Instead of peanut butter, there's almond butter. There's sesame butter. There's butter made out of sunflower seeds, sun butter. You know, and I was telling them, get mini frozen gluten-free waffles. Really easy. They're in the freezer. And then you get sun butter and put that on with their favorite jam. And now you've got something with a lot more protein, a lot less sugar, and will give them a lot more energy. My son went through a phase of that, you know, where it was sun butter. And sesame seed butter, pumpkin seed butter. I even saw pumpkin chocolate flavored pumpkin seed butter.
Ooh.
I mean, can you imagine? That right there, I mean, it's so healthy, you know. Get the fruit out of the lunch, you know, having a sandwich with a gluten-free. Bread has yeast in it. So if you can go with a non-yeasted bread, that just helps a little bit more, you know.
With the digestion, you mean?
Yes, with digestion. You know, using, getting away from that and using a nut butter or seed butter. And even the tahini, which is the same thing as just the sesame seeds ground up for sesame seed butter. Mm-hmm. One parent was like, well, they don't like the taste. Well, you can mix, you know, now, you know, maple syrup, just mix it yourself. A little bit of maple syrup mixed in with sesame seed butter on, you know, a sandwich. There you go. Now you've got omegas, you've got magnesium, you've got all kinds of minerals and vitamins right there.
Wow. That's cool. You know, and it's listening to you talk about the waffles with the nut butter and the jam on it brought me to think about not only my kiddos, but myself. And that is I see it more in my son, who's 10. He always wants something sweet after he eats, and I'm the exact same way. And I don't need much, but just something a little sweet. And then, of course, I do see a lot, he just wants sugar. He wants candy. And we limit the candy that they can have, but he does ask for it a lot. So when we're talking about cravings and going through this process of that you offer in terms of finding the right foods for you, how does that help with the cravings? And yeah, let's start with there. How does that help with the cravings? And our cravings are connected to emotions.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. There's so many reasons for cravings, okay? There are, they are doing some just really cool experiments out there where they were taking brain scans of people and showing them pictures, like sad pictures, and people start getting depressed, and then they actually, okay, it's kind of gross, but they bypass the mouth, and they're looking at what is a comfort food. So they had some solution with some fat in it, and then they had salt water. Okay, so you can't taste it, but they put it in your stomach. And when you're really sad and you eat some fat, your brain changes. There is those neurons that I was talking about, that second gut or second brain in the gut, tell, you know, a little bit of fat, 50% of that emotion can get flipped, just totally flipped, and you feel better. It's amazing. So the body is talking to your brain, not just the brain talking to the stomach, to the gut. Mm-hmm. So there's a real, and there's the other thing too. So that's where salt water, if you put salt water in the gut, that doesn't do much at all. It doesn't help the situation.
Yeah.
So salt water isn't considered a comfort food, whereas something like mac and cheese and ice cream, those are actual, you know, there's real reasons why those help to comfort you. But what else can we do about those cravings? Sugar, if you look at a ripe piece of fruit, that is what our body, that is the sugar content of a ripe fruit is what our body learned to crave evolutionarily to support energy, to get energy. So a lot of times what I'm thinking is when kids want something sweet and sugar and fruit satisfies that, then those are like natural sugar cravings. Mm-hmm. But when it is over the top, and what I think of as Star Trek, when you get into hyperdrive, you have bypassed the natural craving for sugar. And that's because the body hasn't been supported for hours and hours, and the energy is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So that is, the body did not get supported. It did not get the fuel it needs. So it goes into this hyperdrive. Mm-hmm. And then there's one more thing.
Just one?
So complicated. But so, you know, intricate. And that's, again, why when I'm looking at individual foods and I'm looking at timing, it makes such a big difference because I'm covering all these things in one fell swoop. Okay, so you eating protein in the morning, that means by 3 and 4, your body is going to be fueled, have all the energy it needs. It's not going to go into hyperdrive. Okay, it is not going to have this out of control sugar craving.
So when you say hyperdrive, is that what are you meaning?
I actually see people who have told me 4 o'clock, I need a cigarette. I'm like, what? What? You know? And they're like, I need to pull into a gas station and get something sweet to eat. You know,
oh,
it's
I see.
That kind of like out of control.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. That's where the brain has been deprived for much too long without energy.
Yeah, and you know, and for me, I was doing that, and it was like, I mean, I would get up and my breakfast was the latte, right? And it was a soy, decaf soy latte. There was no syrups in it or anything like that. It was just the soy milk and the espresso. But I would have that. And then I didn't eat, you know, all day. So by the time I would get home, 4 o'clock or so, I mean, I didn't care what I had. I just needed something quick. And so that type of just, I don't care
that's
attitude.
That's what I'm talking about. That is hyperdrive. Your body is like, your brain is saying, I do not have the fuel to go another instant.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's, you know, the more simplified whole foods that you're eating slows down that process of moving sugar into the blood, which is a good thing. It's more gradual. And when that happens more gradually, then the enzymes that are being produced to break down that sugar, that's happening more gradually. And so, you know, as you're producing that enzyme to break down sugar, excuse me, your body, so said, oh, maybe I need a little bit more. So there is kind of, that's where like the craving after dinner comes mm-hmm. from. The mm-hmm. more processed food you're eating, the more enzyme that you've produced to deal with that. So if you ate a really pasta and, oh, I don't know, just very processed and probably garlic toast, there you go. That would be pretty processed. It would go to sugar very quickly. Well, now your body is going, hey, I produced all this enzyme for sugar. I need some more sugar.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
That would make a lot of sense why the kids would be craving the sugar a lot, because they eat so much processed food.
Right. So if you take it back to whole foods, even whole grains, you know, and it's not just rice. There's so many other wonderful gluten-free grains out there, like buckwheat. Even though it says wheat, it's gluten-free. That is wonderful at slowing down the process of getting turned into sugar, you know. And using more things like that with vegetables and cooked vegetables, you know, using more cooked vegetables and grains will slow down that process. So then by the end of dinner, their body has only produced a little bit of that enzyme, and it doesn't need any more sugar. It's not going to have that sugar craving. And, you know, then if they want something sweet, then if you offer them fruit, that's probably just about right.
Cool.
Because they have just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful information. Talk to us just real quick here. We have probably about six minutes here. Tell us, in your opinion, where the field of nutrition is heading.
Well, I think it's really cool that we're looking into these things, like, you know, what happened to your great-great-grandparents, you know, so you can look and see, whoa, okay, I might be. It's not just a genetic thing. And it's also recognizing this nervous system of the gut. They have done some super cool experiments where one particular strain of gut bacteria, so we're talking probiotics, they have used one strain of probiotic to affect something like autism.
Okay? Oh, wow.
Yeah. One strain. So they're actually going backwards from the gut to work on issues of what normally would be considered issues of the brain. And they kind of, you know, worked backwards, basically, looking at, like, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, really severe issues of what was considered the nervous system and in the brain. Well, the things that they look at when they look at those nervous tissue, the plaques that are on there, they find in the gut. So they're going, wait a minute. It's so cool. They have even now found ways where they can transplant healthy gut cells into the brain and help the brain.
Oh, wow.
It's so wonderful. And so, you know, taking care of the gut, you know, as this kind of second brain and really recognizing. And then, you know, looking at that, what do neurons produce? The neurotransmitters. A lot of people know what serotonin is. That is a neurotransmitter that makes you feel good. There's so many people on antidepressants. Antidepressants, usually some of them are increasing serotonin levels. But if you look at the whole body as a whole, the neurons in the brain are only producing 10% of all the serotonin in your body. So where is the rest of the 90% of serotonin? In your gut. Mm. Right there in your belly. So antidepressants are affecting your belly. That's where they think this link to irritable bowel syndrome is.
Interesting.
And to me, yeah, that's so amazing. Like, okay, so now there's all this irritable bowel. Let's take care of the gut, and we will be affecting the brain.
Right.
We will actually now be, you know, have a way of treating depression, you know, in the gut.
Mm-hmm. And very simply put, it's like, you know, you can't just think that, oh, well, I'm eating salad or I'm eating more vegetables, that's what your body needs to be doing. That may be making your symptoms worse. And so I love that you are really tailoring this to the individual and what they need. And it's just so important. And I hope that if we haven't stressed anything this morning, if you take nothing away, take this, and that is that your body is unique, and the foods that your body needs will be different than what my body needs or your friend's body needs. And so getting into this thing of thinking, well, I'm eating salads every day. Guess what? Salad may not be the right thing for you.
Absolutely.
Colin, how can, I know you work remotely with people, meaning it doesn't matter where they are in the United States, you can work with them over the phone, probably other ways as well, but tell us, how can people get in touch with you? I know you have a Facebook page. What are the ways they can contact you?
Yes, I have a Holistic Nutrition, LLC is my Facebook page. Holistic Nutrition is the name of my business. I also have holisticnutritionfood.com. That's my website. And so those are two ways of really, really easy ways to get hold of me.
Okay.
Then I have my phone number on there. I have email. Because, yes, it's all about the unique foods for the unique individual.
Wonderful. So the Facebook was Holistic Nutrition, LLC. That was Facebook.
Yep.
And then the website is holisticnutritionfood.com?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that you guys listening reach out to her. She is absolutely amazing, and she can get that belly feeling better and that gut in good state of health, which just shifts everything from, again, the moods to your energy levels, your cravings, everything. So, Colin, I love you. I'm so grateful to you for all of the wisdom that you have brought forth into my own life. And so many of my friends that work with you, you're just making huge changes in people's lives, and I'm just so grateful and appreciative of what you're bringing forth. So thank you for coming today. And
thank you.
I will probably have you back if you would like.
This is so fun.
It sounds like you could just keep going on and on about the gut. So I'll have you back, and we'll talk more about the gut.
Absolutely. So
thank you again. And for all of our listeners today, I thank you for listening in. I'll be back next week with Sarah Hoskin-Clymer, who will be discussing her sacred walking pilgrimages. And if you miss any airing of the shows, you can access all shows at www.plv-radio.com/empowerhour. And if you would like support on your journey, again, visit my website at AskCoachBrandy.com, and you can find out more about my programs, offerings, and upcoming events there. You are listening to Empower Hour, and I am Coach Brandy. Until next week, from my heart to yours, love.
Thank you for tuning in to PLV Radio. We hope that our programming has inspired you. Please feel free to visit the website to find past shows and schedules. Find your favorite hosts, leave comments about your experience, and share ideas for future shows. Don't forget to visit us on your favorite social media websites, which you will find links to at plv-radio.com. Listen with your friends and share the inspiration.